This week on the podcast, we are talking all about mental health, but we know when it comes to mental health, how important it is that we take care of our overall health and well-being, and that includes making sure that we are eating the right things. When it comes to health and wellness space, sometimes it can feel overwhelming. I like to make things simple and streamlined, which is why I love using Energy Bits in my daily life. Energy Bits are algae tablets made out of spirulina and chlorella. And what I do is take a handful of them every day while I'm making my smoothie. It takes no time at all and it packs a huge health punch. I recently had the CEO of Energy Bits back on the podcast, so you should definitely go and listen to that podcast episode that I did with her. And we talked all about the importance of algae and how it can benefit us so much. Why I love Energy Bits is that in one little tablet, it is zero sugar, it's organic, it's non-GMO, vegan, and keto. It helps to reduce inflammation in the body. It's good for your heart, bone, and skin health. It's high in antioxidants. It has 40 minerals and vitamins. It's good for anti-aging. One tablet is the equivalent of a plate of vegetables. It helps to remove toxins and it helps with your immune system. The list goes on and on, which is why I think taking a handful of these every day is one of the easiest things that you can do for your health and well-being. Right now, Energy Bits is giving all Balance Your Life podcast listeners 20% off when you use code Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, at checkout on any of their products online. I take the Vitality Bits because it's both chlorella and spirulina. I feel like I'm getting the best of both worlds by having both of them in one tablet, but you can choose from a variety of options depending on your needs and your wants. Don't forget to use code Megan at checkout for 20% off of your order. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. Today we have an episode that is not only great if you are an entrepreneur, but if you are a working professional in general. We really dive into the topic of mental health in this podcast episode, but also health and wellness, you know, taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of others, filling up our cup so that we can be the best, most optimal version of ourselves. And we cover a lot of ground in today's podcast episode. I think you're really going to love this episode and learn a lot of valuable information, especially when it comes to celebrating little and big wins in your life. So let's get into it. Today I'm joined by Bill Clark. Bill started his marketing agency at the age of 20 after he just dropped out of university in Leeds, England to pursue his dream of entrepreneurship. As a young entrepreneur, Bill has come up against plenty of struggles, but now he's based in Thailand where he runs his online business. In recent months, Bill has turned to focus on self-improvement as well as teaching others through his YouTube and course, How to Achieve a Life of Freedom and Fulfillment, a purpose Bill feels strongly about and has big plans for the future. On this episode, we talk about leaving England and moving to Thailand to run an online business, the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur, and daily health and wellness practices. We also discuss moving through self-doubt and limiting beliefs as he started out on his entrepreneurial journey, tools he uses to pull himself out of having a bad day, things he does to celebrate the little and big wins, and so much more. There's a lot of information in today's podcast episode. We kind of go all over the place, but it's one that I think everyone will truly find so much value in. One thing I've talked about again and again on this podcast is how depleted we are as a society of minerals. I've had experts, doctors, and practitioners on this podcast all say the same thing. Our soil is so depleted of minerals that as human beings, we are lacking these vital natural resources in our life and bodies. So in the mornings, I make my warm lemon water and then I add BLK drops to the water. It's habit stacking at its finest. I just add 10 to 15 drops in the water and drink it back. It goes black, but there's no taste at all to it, and I know I'm adding 77 natural occurring trace minerals, trace elements, amino acids, and electrolytes to my body. If you haven't listened to the podcast episode I did with the founders of BLK Water, make sure you check that episode out and learn all about the benefits of fulvic acid and their incredible wellness product. If you are ready to start taking BLK, then make sure you use code MEGAN20 to save 20% off of your order. I highly suggest the drops. They are my favorite and they are so easy to implement into your morning routine. Support the show, save 20% on your order, and take your health and wellness to its natural next level by using code MEGAN20 at checkout. Welcome to the show, Bill. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's good to chat.
Can you give a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining me from today?
So I'm Bill Clark. Right now I'm in Koh Samui, Thailand. It's a beautiful, beautiful paradise that I sort of live. I live by myself. I traveled a bit and then I run my online business from here. I thought, oh, run an online business in rainy England or in paradise in Thailand. So I chose the latter. I've been here since February. Definitely staying for a few years. It's a beautiful place, beautiful people, and yeah, this whole environment's just perfect for getting healthy, growing a business, and yeah, this season in my life, this is my focus now.
So I would love to even talk about like why Thailand. I know before we hit record, we were talking about you're from rainy England, but specifically, like, why did you choose to go to Thailand and start running a business from there?
So the idea behind Thailand was actually when I first started an online business in 2018, I think it was, I always had the vision of traveling and stuff, but I was quite shy. I was quite introverted, never really made that leap. However, one of my good friends went to Thailand and then Bali and Vietnam. They did that whole working online and traveling. And after their trip, I went for coffee with them and they were like, you've just got to do it. You've just got to go to Thailand. So the idea was, right, I'll go to Thailand. He's recommended it so much. He was talking about the food, the culture and everything. I was like, right, that's it. I'm sold. So I booked a one-way flight to Thailand and the plan was I'll go traveling in other places, but I just absolutely fell in love with it here. I mean, there's something about it. And so many people that I speak to here are just the same. They're like, there's just something about this place. And there's so many other like people doing exactly what I do. So building that community when you seem, well, I'm thousands of miles away from home, but having this community is just incredibly valuable. So I thought, yeah, I will make my base here for a few years.
I think it's incredibly smart. I hear a lot of entrepreneurs do Bali or Thailand is a really popular spot because it takes a lot of money to be able to be an entrepreneur, especially if you're from England or Canada or the United States. And I specifically remember listening to, do you know who Taro from Four Sigmatic is?
Name rings a slight bell.
He has all the like the mushroom drinks and I guess it's popular in the US and Canada, but he's from Finland and he was saying that financially it made so much sense for him to move to, I think it was Thailand that he moved to start his business, to be able just to even fly back and forth to work on formulations, but to have his core business kind of structured in Thailand. He said it was just financially a really smart idea. And I think it makes incredible amount of sense, especially if you're young and you're not really tied to a place, why not?
Yeah, I always recommend because I meet so many people here traveling. I'm just like, I can't believe you're going back to England. It's it's so great, especially for younger people who aren't sure what to do with their lives. Like moving to a country where you can live like a really good lifestyle off a fraction of the cost, what it would like cost you in Canada or England. I think it's great to sort of put yourself in that position of being able to think, hey, I can do really well out here. I've got a lot more time. I can work on myself, work on my business. And I'm not constantly worried about like this overwhelming pressure of rent that's 800 or £1,000 a month for my studio apartment in England, whether it's like 10% of that out here. Like you think, oh, you've just got more breathing space. And I think as like a young person, I was just like, I need some breathing space. I need to take a step back, figure stuff out. And there's just, yeah, you don't really have, obviously there are financial stresses, but the vast majority of them just sort of go away when you move here, just because the cost of living is so fantastic and you can do it on a real budget. I think it's a great place for people to just figure things out if they need to.
Yeah, I do want to actually run through some of the finances while you're there, just because I'm genuinely curious myself. But before I go down that route, have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur? Did you said you were talking to your friends and it just kind of spurted this idea for you? Why did you decide to go down the route of entrepreneurship? Because there's this saying that like, if you knew what it would take to be an entrepreneur, you wouldn't do it. And I mean, I'm sure you can attest to it. There's a lot of ups and downs. So I'm curious if this has always been in your blood or if this was something that just kind of came to fruition down the line for you.
Yeah, it's interesting you say it's in my blood because it was my dad who like inspired me, because my dad's dad started his business, and then my dad then started his own business. And I was like, it's going to happen sooner or later. I may as well do it. And when I was about 15, 16, I was like, I saw the life that my dad had. Like, it wasn't like extravagant, but he was happy. He had freedom. He was flexible and stuff. Like, he could go golfing with his mates on a Thursday afternoon or something like every other week. And it was just like, oh, he's done really well for himself. Like, he's happy with his life. I think that was one of the main things. He was happy with what he built and how it provided him and like his employees with that income, that freedom. So from the age of 15, 16, I was like, right, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to have my own business. And mistakenly went to university to study business, which obviously wasn't the best idea. So I dropped out after a year and a half. I dropped out with the purpose of like, right, I'm dropping out and I'm starting my business. And yeah, from there, it was sort of ups and downs, sort of obviously learning a lot of things. And cut to 4 years later, I'm happy and grateful, and I love where it's led to. I love that really difficult decision of being like, mum, dad, I'm dropping out of university, but I have this plan. You've just got to bear with me because I'm going to make it work. So I think since around 15, 16, when I started to think about my options, because before then I was just really a teenager. I was just hanging out, you know? So then when I was thinking of the long-term things, I was always like, yeah, it's got to be on my own terms, because I'm stubborn. I get that from my dad as well. And working for someone else was never something that I could envision doing for a long time.
So the theme of our topic kind of today is mental health for entrepreneurs. And I think it's something that it's kind of twofold. I think that it's not talked enough about. And at the same token, and maybe you can relate to this because I'm in this world as well, I also feel like people do talk about it, but they talk about it in a way that is so overwhelming that you think you need to do all these things, and it becomes like this more stressful, complicated thing on top of being an entrepreneur. I would love to talk about some of your ups and downs as an entrepreneur. Like, what do those ups look like for you? what have your down days look like for you? And be really, really honest, because I feel like this is something that not a lot of people are very open about talking about. And I think it's important for people to know what goes into being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you said something earlier, it was like, if people, like, to be honest, I've never heard that, but if people knew what it would take to be an entrepreneur, they wouldn't do it. I think it's so spot on, because there's so much, obviously there's effort in terms of the developing of the business, but one thing that overwhelmed me for a good few months was the self-doubt. And that was incredibly tough, as like, because as a teenager I was very shy, introverted, quiet, and I was always the one of the friendship group who was just sort of quiet at the back and just sort of left out. So then that probably had some impact on like how I went into starting my business, very shy, not really wanting to put myself out there. And yeah, that was something that I probably still struggle with a bit today, but I'm just getting better. Like, you see all these entrepreneurs, like all these top people in the industry, like they still doubted themselves at the start. There were still struggles that they had, and reminding myself that at the end of the day, I'm just a human. I'm just a person trying to make a better life for me and for those around me. That kind of helped me through that self-doubt. I think that was sort of the main negative one. I think another one would be the loneliness that I felt, because when I was in my hometown, everyone else went to uni, everyone else got jobs. So there was no one to talk to about not only the struggles, but the wins as well. Because when I had a win, like say I got like my first client or something, and I remember that feeling, and I couldn't really talk to my friends about it because they were just like, okay, they just saw it as like if I got a job or something. But I was like, no, this is more than that. This is my first client. This is proof that I can like make something, I can do this once, I can replicate it, and I can go from here. This is such a huge step. But they didn't get that, and there's nothing on them. Like, there's no like bad things towards them. It's just they were in a completely different life. So the loneliness definitely set in. Like, I don't know if you'll know, like you might have had this, but when you're working on an online business, you're at home. Like I was as well. I worked from home. So my whole day was just, I'd wake up, I'd be on my laptop, I'd probably go to the gym, and then I'd be on my laptop, and then I go to sleep. Like that was my day. Like I didn't really have much social life, just because I was so engrossed in this. Oh, you got to work so hard and just do put all your hours into this, or else it's not going to work. So obviously that spiraled, and yeah, it just sort of stemmed from this false belief that I had about entrepreneurship, that it takes sacrificing everything in order to make it work, when in reality it just doesn't. It just, like right now my business is probably the best it's ever been, and I've got a very, I won't say relaxed lifestyle, but I've massively reduced my working hours. I socialize a lot, I go out, and not like go out partying, but I go out and hang out with my mates, we go on adventures and stuff. And I think everyone like just starting out needs to know that, yeah, it requires effort, but it doesn't require sacrificing the things that are super valuable, because I did that. I sacrificed everything, and my business didn't grow. It didn't benefit from it. I only suffered. So there's no reason you should be sacrificing what's really valuable to you for the sake of a business, because at the end of the day, it's a business, or it's like your life, it's your health, your mental health. Obviously, this stuff should come first, and making that mindset switch of like, oh, I don't need to go for the hustle culture. I need to find this balance of work and also enjoying my life No, I recorded a YouTube video yesterday and I talk about this. It's like the lifestyle that I'm living now gives me energy to do the work. It's not like I have to go into full monk mode, just sacrifice like all fun games and everything. I get my energy from the lifestyle, which transfers into my business, and it's just a loop. It's like a cycle.
I relate to this so much. And I was just thinking when we were connecting via email to do this podcast, I remember saying to you, and I was looking at the email going backwards, just to get ready for this podcast and saying, I've been working on my business for 3 years. The month of August, I wasn't doing any podcast interviews. I was still putting out podcast episodes, but I wasn't doing podcast interviews. And it was the first time in a very long time where I did it from a place of fun and like, no, I'm just taking this time off. My family's coming to visit. I just need this. I want to enjoy this. And it's not coming from a place of burnout. It's coming from a place of being genuinely like, I'm taking this time off and I'm going to enjoy myself. And I think what you said about it's, I always say it's like this Gary Vaynerchuk mentality, which I don't know if you know who he is, but I actually do really like him in a lot of ways. But I think as an entrepreneur, you can get very caught up in this idea of like, if you're not putting out content or you're working on your business 24/7, you're not moving the needle forward. And it's a great way to burn yourself out and to really self have a lot of self-doubt. And like you said, your health takes a toll. And when your health takes a toll, everything else just seems harder. And it's not to say that when you're first starting out, things aren't exciting, especially as you're kind of pumped about building this business, but it's a lot of work. And I think people don't realize that, like, I'm in a place right now where I'm working probably the least amount and I'm making the most money. And that's still a really hard switch for me to make. Like, oh, well, since things are going good now, maybe if I just keep putting out more content, it'll get better. And it's hard to be like, no, like when you're genuinely in a good place and a good mindset and good health, things just happen. But it's a hard distinction to make.
Oh, so difficult. I think it's rooted in our education and like then university and then jobs. We just associate time with money. So we're thinking, oh, if I put in 12 hours a day, then that's going to lead to more money. But now, like, it sounds like you're on the same as me. Like, we're working a lot less because the rest of our lives is so good that maybe we only work a few hours a day, but those hours are solid, they're focused, they are doing exactly what we need to do to be moving forward. We're not just doing this 12-hour grind for the sake of saying, oh, I work 12 hours a day. Like, yeah, it is a very difficult shift to make because I think it is ingrained in us, but the sooner that you can make that, the better. And I don't know, maybe people almost do have to go through a bit of time of like, obviously, I don't want people to burn out, but maybe they need to work themselves really hard to realize that that's not how you do it.
Well, I think too, unless you're somebody who, and there's no judgment if that is you, like, unless you have money, a lot of money to be able to hire people right off the go and to have somebody develop like a website for you and to have somebody who films and edits YouTube or a podcast or all of these things. Like, I had to teach myself everything. I had to teach myself coding for a website. I had to learn how to edit and do podcasts by myself. And it took a lot of time and energy. And I'm now at a place where I can almost whip through things very easily. But I didn't have that luxury when I was starting out. It was just like, hey, if you want to do this, you're going to have to teach yourself. So there is that period of like, yeah, there is a little bit of hard work. And I think if there wasn't, I don't know if I would appreciate it as much. Like, it's nice now to look back on myself back then. And even though there were like a lot of tears and doubting myself, it's like, man, like I actually taught myself how to do all this stuff. There's not a lot of people who can say that they did that with no background knowledge.
Yeah, I think, well, for me, and from what you say for you, it's that like culmination of skill stacking that sort of led to us being able to like work with and get the results of like 10x, if that makes sense. Like the time we put in, like it's not like we put in one to get out one, we're putting in one to get out 10. Like that's the work that we're sort of, I definitely think it is that mindset of I'm going to have to teach myself, and then throughout the years learning and stacking all of these different skills. Yeah, like you say, you can just like whiz through things, and what might have taken 2 weeks all the way back then just takes half an hour now because of all the like difficult times that you went through to figure out, oh, it's actually just like this, and I'm a lot better at it because of all the experience of like the late nights and the early mornings and the saying no to going out and stuff. Like that all led to us being able to work just a few hours for like a massive multiplier in terms of our income while living a fantastic life. And I think that's the best way to do it. You've just got to dive in head first and understand that, yeah, the next like year I'm going to be learning a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to know, you said you're kind of doing not less in your business, but things are kind of started to become streamlined and you have a very health and wellness based lifestyle. I would love to know what your day-to-day routine looks like. You're obviously someone who loves the gym. Like, are you hitting the gym every single day? Are you journaling? Like, what do those health and wellness practices look like for you today?
So, I mean, in terms of mornings, I don't set alarms on a morning anymore. It was an interesting conversation I had about this with someone. It was like, now I focus about going to sleep at the same time, because like, I'm sure you already know this because you're already smiling, but it's like going to sleep at the same time, and then whatever rest my body needs, I let it have rather than cutting it short. And it's like 6:58. I wake up every morning now. It's ridiculous. So I wake up, I'll go straight outside to do like 10 minutes of skipping and then an ab workout. And then it's just hydrate and then straight into work, really. I used to have a full morning routine with yoga, journaling, meditation, and that served me really well for a long time, like 18 months or something. I had the same routine, but now I don't know what's led to it, whether it's just like the moving and everything. But yeah, that's sort of my morning routine at the moment, which seems very basic. But this sort of season of my life, I'm just feeling very energetic towards my work. So as soon as I wake up, I want to get started with it. So that's sort of my like morning. And then I'll work. Yeah, I'll go gym 5 times a week. And I'm also starting to train Muay Thai here, which is like the Thai boxing, which is very, it's a hell of a workout. They do keep me around a bit, but it's good fun as well. So that's more like partly fitness is why I do it, but partly it's good fun and I love it. It's one of those hobbies. But yeah, in terms of like meditation, I was thinking about this today. I haven't meditated in a while. And I was sort of thinking, oh, why haven't I meditated in a while? It's not that I don't value it. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know why. It's just it's one of those things that I've just sort of dropped off, but I keep looking at like my Medito app and I'm just like, I will get back into this. But sometimes I'm just not like strict meditative, but sometimes I'll just be like in my pool, like just looking out, and I'll just be like taking a few deep breaths. So it's not like a sit, eyes closed, cross-legged meditation. However, there are some moments in the day when you just sort of take a few deep breaths. It's more of a mindfulness practice. So that's, I'm trying to think, that's predominantly my health and wellness sort of activities, really.
No, I think that's important to that you say that, because I feel like sometimes online you can see people who are doing all of these health and wellness things in the morning or in the evening, and it's like, oh, maybe I should be meditating for an hour since so-and-so is doing that and their business is booming. And I feel like there's almost like a little bit of shame of saying things like, oh, I don't meditate anymore, or I used to do a morning walk and now I don't do it anymore, and like maybe I should be doing it. And it's, I think that's just, you know, we evolve, and sometimes it's evolving in a place where letting something kind of go and then realizing, oh, like I actually do kind of miss it, and getting back into it. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a little bit of a letting something go for a bit and then realizing that you've missed it in your life and kind of getting back into it, or not. Maybe just going, hey, you know what? This sit down type of meditation served me at a time in my life, but now it looks more like breath work or going on a hike and just focusing on my breathing instead. Like, I don't think it always has to be the same thing all the time. And it's funny because even my husband made a comment to me the other day. I used to, after I would meditate in the morning, I would like pull an angel card and like sit with my crystals. And I haven't done that in a long time. And it's something I didn't even really think about. It was just something that kind of shifted away. And then I started to do something else instead. And I'm like, you know, maybe one day I'll get back to it. But right now I just don't have the desire to currently do it right now.
Yeah, I think, and accepting that, yeah, maybe this practice isn't serving me right now. And I do totally know what you mean about the shame, because you see all the Instagram posts and YouTubers with this super aesthetic morning routine, and you're just like, oh, well, I'm not doing any of that. And then you think, oh, maybe I should try and incorporate that. But yeah, I'm more of a, I think mine's much more of a minimalist approach now. Like, I just started taking away things because I much prefer it at this time in my life. I think when I was sort of struggling mentally, more of a routine in the morning really helped, because I sort of needed that to get set for the day, needed to get actually ready for the day and accept, yeah, this is going to be another day. Like, I need to get through this. Whereas now, waking up with that energy already in the mindset of like, I'm so grateful and blessed and I'm ready to just make a difference. I think now that the whole morning routine of stretching, breath work, journaling, meditation just doesn't serve me. I'm a big believer that we should always be sort of testing things as well, like trying out new routines, like adding things, taking away things, seeing how we feel as well, like at the end of the day journaling or in the morning journaling, like how are you feeling, like what is the difference between what you're writing in the morning versus the evening, what are you benefiting from most, what isn't actually adding to your life. I think I'm a big believer in that we should always be like, not, well, I guess it's analyzing, but sort of having that sort of scientific approach to be like, right, is this piece working? No, right, we'll take it out for a bit. Is this piece working? Kind of, maybe I'll move it to the evening, and just having a bit of a different approach like that.
No, I couldn't agree more with you. It's something when I do talk to clients of mine or even friends of mine, and it's, there is this idea of like, I sometimes think people will try something and like day one they'll be like, oh, it wasn't for me, I'm not going to do it again. And it's like there's a little bit of a period of adjustment of like trying something, giving something a chance to stick. Like, there was a reason why you decided to try it in the first place or do it. And maybe sometimes it's the teacher, or it was, you did in the morning, maybe you're more of an evening type of person. But like, I think there's a period of like needing to let things kind of play out for a bit. And then if it really, really doesn't serve you, move on and try something else. But it's a balance of trying, like, okay, why was I drawn to trying this thing? It didn't work for me. Was it because it wasn't the right teacher-student relationship? Was it I should be doing it in the evening versus the morning? Just trying to figure out some of that kind of stuff too, as opposed to, I think sometimes people want it to be easier or to feel right away. And sometimes it does. And sometimes it's just trial and erroring a few things out.
Yeah, I guess we've got to be, well, can't just quickly dismiss things if we're like, oh, well, I did that guy's morning routine. Why aren't I shredded like him and have really successful business? Like, what's all of that? Like, we've got to understand, like, the actual practices we are implementing into our lives, rather than it just being another 20 minutes on a morning thinking, oh, this is going to mean I'm successful. It's like, no, these practices are going to be like the prerequisite for you being successful. It's like, you meditate so you are more mindful, you're calm, you're peaceful, so you can make better decisions, like, during the day, which are probably going to lead you to being more successful. Or, like, if you are hydrating and doing a workout in the morning, then your mind's probably working at a much more optimal rate than if you wake up 10 a.m., scroll on your phone for an hour, have 16 Red Bulls, and then start work.
Yeah. I would love to know, if you're having a down day as an entrepreneur owning your own agency, I was very open just recently, actually, about on the weekend, I had a day where I was just so low vibe. I was just cranky. I was tired. I was sad. I was frustrated. It was all the things. And those are the days where I feel like not doing anything, right? I don't feel like drinking my smoothie. I don't feel like doing a workout or a yoga flow. And I'm just like, I want to be kind of like in my misery, or I'm just like, crap, like, I really wanted that brand deal or that client, or, and it didn't happen, and it puts you in a mood. What are some things that you do that help pull you out of that mood, or at least kind of keep you grounded so you're not going down a rabbit hole of like self-misery and self-doubt and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I think it is very easy to go down that rabbit hole and just think, oh, I can, this thing didn't happen, so I can write off the whole day. Like, I'm a big believer that we just need to bounce back as quickly as we can. So getting little wins. So first of all, I do this thing where I have like a conversation with myself, like out loud, and I'll just talk through everything that happened. It could be a 10-minute conversation, could be an hour conversation just with myself. Sorry, can you hear me? It's just started raining.
That's wild that I heard that start and I was like, what is that noise? That's rain? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's quite a torrential here. Should I put my headphones on? It might be better.
Sure, try that.
Is this all right?
You're good. Yeah, you're good.
Nice. So yeah, I'm a big believer that we need to bounce back super quick. So I try just to set like three little things I can do, whether it's just read a chapter of my book or just at least find three ideas for YouTube videos to do, or just little things like that that I can just tick off a list and be like, right, we're moving somewhere. We're not just sitting around, because I've never been able to sit and watch like TV. Like, the whole, I am genuinely working on this, and it's difficult, but having the like guilt-free downtime, I'm still getting to grips with, but I'm getting better. I think some days, if we are down like quite badly, like, it does depend on what happens. Like, if I don't make a sales call, or if something really bad happens, then they're going to be two completely different days. If something really bad happens, then maybe the conversation with myself just needs to be, look, this happened, you are human, just take the day just to recover, recoup, and tomorrow you'll be back stronger than ever. So it's a difficult one. There are a few things, like I used to journal as well, just be like, not with any aim, but just to like, right, this happened, and then I just write, see what came out. It's the same sort of thing with having the conversation with myself, just seeing where it leads to, like recovering any false beliefs that I might have had, because I might have been like, oh, I didn't get this sales call, that didn't work out. And then it might come that I was like, oh, well, you didn't really prepare for it that well. Well, why didn't I prepare for it that well? Well, to be honest, he didn't seem like a very nice guy. Well, if he wasn't a very nice guy, then it's probably a good thing, because I don't want to be in a 6-month contract with someone who's not a very, very nice guy. And just having these little breakthroughs just makes you sort of, it just bumps up that energy level just a little bit. I'm not looking to feel a 10 out of 10. I'm just looking to feel a little bit better every time I just sit down, have a conversation with myself. And that's probably the most powerful sort of practice that I've found in terms of when I've been feeling down. It's just talking it through with myself. I'm actually super lucky to have a friend here in Koh Samui that sometimes if I am having like a bad day, I will just go and see him. And I'm very lucky to have that relationship with him where we can just talk. And I do see him as like a mentor to me. And he's just, because I'm very harsh on myself. And I think when we are down, we can be harsh on ourselves. It's like, oh, Bill, why did you let this happen? Like, you should have been better. Whereas having someone to talk to through this, it sometimes takes someone else to say, why are you speaking to yourself like that? Like, if you were saying those words to anyone else, like, you'd feel so much shame. So why don't you feel any shame when you say it to yourself? So I think having that conversation either with someone or with yourself helps bring that up, because I don't know about you, but I never recognize when I'm doing it, when I'm just like in my head. So that's like trying to diminish that self-doubt, that negative self-talk. I find that that's a really effective way of getting out of those like those down periods.
Yeah, no, I thank you for speaking on that. It's one thing that I feel like I run really high vibe a lot of the time. So when I do crash, I crash quite hard. And like I said, last Sunday was one of those days where I was just like, you wouldn't want to have been near me. I was just like so miserable. And the one thing that I think that really helps me is like, I know how good my yoga practice makes me feel all the time, all the time. At the very least, it makes me feel grounded. At the very most, it makes me feel like I could conquer anything. And if I'm having one of those days, I'll always say, just do 10 minutes, unroll your mat, do a 10-minute flow. And usually it will become more, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's like, I just got on my mat for 10 minutes and that's it. And it just kind of grounds you a little bit more, or at the, you know, it helps me to think today is just one of those days, you know, like it doesn't have to be tomorrow. You go high vibe a lot of the time. Like if today is one of those days, just honor it. Cause I feel like there's this kind of misconception. Well, just like take a moment and find gratitude in it. Like you should just find gratitude and be happy and be able to flip the switch. And yes, I'm a huge component of gratitude, but it's almost sometimes I'm grateful that I'm going to honor that I feel this way today. And that's it. You know, sometimes I bounce back and sometimes I flip into a happier person. And there's once in a while, what's like, today's just not the day. Just honor it, take the day, do something that makes you happy. Don't be on your phone. I think that's a huge thing, is like, not to scroll through social media, but to do one thing that brings you any amount of groundingness or, you know, just peace even, and just be okay with the fact that it's one of those days.
Yeah, I totally agree. And with that, with going, don't be on your phone. One thing I do, I can't remember why, but I was getting frustrated. Just left my phone and got on my moped and was just like, I'm just gonna going to drive until I find a nice coffee shop. I'm just going to get my iced Americano and I'm just going to chill.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just felt a lot better. I sort of came back after a few hours and was like, all right, let's just hit this a bit differently. But yeah, I was just going to comment on what you said about like accepting that it is just one of those days. And I think the self-critic in us is very, it doesn't want to do that, but we should be like, look, with self-improvement, with working to be our best self, it's not just going to be like this. There are going to be downs, like there are going to be pitfalls. And accepting that is just the first and probably the best way that we can just move on from it.
So what are some of the things that you do to honor some wins? Because I feel like that is equally as hard as being with a down day, is like actually celebrating big, small, in between type of wins and not just pushing on to the next thing. Like, oh, cool, that happened. What's the next step? It's like actually celebrating the thing that you won, whether it's a huge thing or a small little thing. So how do you celebrate? I mean, it can be something like every time I do, I go out for dinner, or every time I do, I just stop what I'm doing and I call a friend, a family member, a mentor, and just kind of, you know, like a no shame type of brag. Like, what are those things that you do?
So hang on, I'll pull it up on my computer now. So I've got a list on Notion where basically whenever it's not shallow, I don't think, but the way that it is like, it's like a business related one. So whenever I get a new client, I reward myself. Well, not myself, but so every time I get a new client, it sort of moves up a bit. So the past ones, let's see if I can find them. So when I got here to Thailand, one of the first ones was like, right, I found this really nice hotel. So when I next sign a client, I'm going for a couple nights there. I did that. And then my next one was upgrade my accommodation. So before I was just in like a one bed apartment. And then I was like, I got a new client. I was like, I'm going to go for this villa next. And then the next one was like, oh, my phone's getting a bit old. My next client, I'm going to get an iPhone 8. Not an iPhone 8, an iPhone, the brand new one, whatever. And then the next one is pay for my parents to go for a weekend away. And then the one after that is open up like a savings account for my niece and nephew, just so I can start putting money into that. And then the one after that is send my sister a chunk of money. So yeah, right now it's all like when I get a new client, which I understand, it's like there are so much more successes in my life than just a new client. However, that's sort of how I'm rewarding myself at the moment. It's just this tiered system where it's just like every time one thing happens, I'll do it. And I've got it there. I've got my board on Notion there to like, right, when this happens, I'm doing this. And looking at that daily has been really nice, I guess. It's just that, I guess it's the motivator, but it's also just the, because then you scroll along and I've got like a column where it's like goals achieved, which I never used to have that. I'd always just like delete goals achieved, and then just this small thing of being like, oh, I've actually achieved quite a lot this year. That's pretty sweet. And just that reminder in itself is quite a nice thing. But yeah, now you've brought it up, I think I need to have a look at that again and start to think, right, what other successes am I having in my days? Because sometimes I'll just be feeling great. And one thing that I do is I just text one of my friends. I've got a really good friend here in Thailand. Whenever I'm just feeling on top of the world, I'll just text her and be like, oh, hey, this happened. I'm feeling amazing. Just thought I'd let you know. And she's always like, yes, I love that.
Oh, but it's just little things like that. I think it's great where you're like, yes, the smaller wins are great, and to, you know, do something like that to celebrate it. But I think human beings are we love to see progress. And for you to have that list to say, okay, this is the goal that I'm working towards. And I love that it's kind of, I don't want to say like the vague isn't the right word, but there's no timeline to it, right? Like you're not like, if I get a new client in this week, then I'll do this. It's like the next client, it could be in a week, it could be in 2 months, but the next client is, this is the next step. And then you can see everything else that you've accomplished. And it is very motivating. And you've given me a lot of inspo to do something like that, because I think it's sometimes we play like, we don't really want to celebrate the big wins with big things. It's kind of like, we'll do something small because it's like, oh, I don't want to get too excited about it. Or like, almost like there's like that guilt shame and also that other shame of like wanting to celebrate, to be like, I kicked butt today, and then being like, oh my God, should I be honoring that? Should I be like celebrating that? Is that, does that make me seem kind of like cocky or anything? It's like, see the progress that you've made and just keep moving upwards and to work on, those are big goals and those are awesome things that you're working on.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is weird how we feel that shame of like, I don't want to seem like I'm cocky or bragging.
Mm-hmm.
But on the inside, I'm super pleased with how I've done.
Yeah.
Like, to go from someone who was really struggling mentally like a year ago to now being like, right, I'm paying for my parents' weekend away next month. Like, I don't know, just...
It's huge.
Yeah. And I think the success is they're not. I don't think we should feel cocky or like we're bragging, because we're not doing it to be like, oh, I've done this and you haven't. I've mm-hmm. done this because like I've done this. And look at me a year ago. Like, he would have never been able to do that.
Yeah. No, I love that like, so much.
Like, celebrating that growth that I've had, I think, is more what I'm doing, but I'm just sort of signifying it when it comes to a new client, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think it's the energy too, right? Like, people are attracted to positivity. I think that's just like, we all can think of or know somebody where it's like, you want to be around the people who are like high vibing all the time. And to be able to celebrate any step in your life or business or anything, I think it puts out this energetic vibration that attracts more good things to you. And the more that you can celebrate that, the more that you'll get more positivity into your life.
Yeah, I think, it's so, I used to think it was so almost a waste of time to celebrate your wins and just, I think, gosh, come on, it's just that I need to aim for more. I need to aim for this much because that person's doing that. Or I need to aim for this watch next because that person's just bought one. And yeah, the sooner that you think, I'm not in a race against anyone else. Like, this is just me. This is just becoming a better version of Bill Clark. That's the only game I'm playing. And yeah, rewarding yourself when you sort of level up, I guess.
Yeah. I want to be mindful of your time, but I was also, I selfishly have this question, and I know there are people who listen to this podcast who are, they're trying to figure out their life. Maybe they're not sure about whether to go to school or to pursue something else, or perhaps they even have a family, but they want to be an entrepreneur, but they just don't know how to financially make it work. Or, you know, it has to be this way or this way. Like, I can't be an entrepreneur because it costs too much money. And my kids are in school and doing all these things. So if you could give like a breakdown, like, we don't have to say it's like living the high life, but like, let's say somebody is like, okay, I'm curious about Thailand. What would it take for me to have like a decent apartment? It doesn't have to be the Taj Mahal, but you know, something that is livable that I would be comfortable in. What am I looking at as far as like food for being out there? If I want to still have a health and wellness practice, like, is it expensive to do there? Like, what sort of finances are comparable between living in Thailand and let's say living in England even, because I'm sure it's just as expensive as North America.
So, yeah, I think in terms of accommodation, so my previous place was, it was £250 a month. And that was a modern one-bedroom apartment, included water, electricity was about £40 a month. So it doesn't even come to £300 a month for accommodation. It was good area, sea view, shared pool. So it was nice. That's sort of like the standard if you're looking for a one-bedroom apartment. And yeah, it's not masses, more like my place now is, it's a fair bit bigger. It's £600 a month, but now I've got space to like bring friends. I've got a much bigger place. I've got like a balcony. I've got a pool. So it completely varies. So, but yeah, like from the bottom, you can pay about £200-£250 a month for accommodation. In terms of eating, so one of the best things, like, because I've just started eating a lot of steak, but one of the things is that because Thailand is so close to Australia, there's a lot of meat here that is like Australian grass-fed beef, like really high quality stuff, and that costs about £3 for a 300 gram like ribeye steak. So I'm having like one of them, some free-range eggs, rice. So it's not difficult if you want to like cook your own healthy food. There are some like meal prep services here, which again, you can get like these, you know, those bowls where you get like chicken, beans, salad, all of that sort of stuff, avocado. They're about, I'm just trying to do the exchange rates at the moment, they're about £3 a bowl, and you can just get them on a daily basis. The gyms are actually quite expensive here, but I'm in Koh Samui, is the most expensive island. I didn't know that until I got here. But there are other places, like if you go up north, there's a beautiful town, a city in the mountains called Chiang Mai, which, like, I'm talking about Koh Samui prices, like up there it's about another 40% cheaper than what I'm talking about now. So it's just so cheap over there. Gyms are about, you probably pay £30 to £50 a month. So about the same as what I pay in England, but really high quality. I think the main savings you make are accommodation and food. But yeah, I've found that I'm just eating a lot healthier here as well, because choosing what I can cook and choosing high quality stuff I can cook. Like in my fridge, there's just steaks, water, coconut water. I think that's about it.
You're talking, and I'm trying to do the conversion in my head from pounds to like Canadian dollars, because our dollar sucks compared to you guys. Like, that is astronomical. And that's the one thing I think a lot of people will say to me is like, people want to eat healthy, but there's just, it's almost like, well, I have to pay rent, or do I want to eat healthy? Like, I really do get the argument people are saying, like, it's cheaper to go out and eat box food or fast food here, for sure. Long term, obviously it's not, but I know a lot of people, like, in the moment though, I can't afford to eat organic and stuff all the time. If I want to pay my rent, if I want to have a life, if I need to pay my bills, it's like I have to give up one for the other. And the fact that you can eat so well, so inexpensively, I think is major, because I feel like people don't realize that that is part of your overall, well, yes, your overall health, but even like your mental health. If you're eating really crappy and garbage food, like, I think the times in my life where I was the most depressed or anxious were the times that I was the most unhealthy, and in every level, not eating well, not finding a workout or an exercise program that worked for me. Like, it's all this reciprocal effect. And I think that's incredible that you can do it over there for so inexpensively. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, this is why I say it's one of the best places if you're wanting to not only build a business, but to become healthy as well, just because it's, like you say, it's so accessible to get all these high quality foods and to cook all of it, and like, or even just hire a meal prep company to like do all of it for you for such a low cost. Like, to buy all of this stuff, if I was in England, would be so much more. Like, my friend in England, he gets like local farm steaks, and they're about £13 a steak.
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably got like, I mean, it's not local, but it's still Australian grass fed. Like it says, like, it's all import quality. It's all very good stuff. And it's just like, yeah,
That's wild.
It's great. Yeah. It's wild.
That's wild. Like, I think that would be like $20, $25 Canadian for a steak. Like, you can understand how people are like, maybe I can have that once a month, because that's a huge portion to go towards like one steak. Like, I get it. Like, it is not cheap to try to be healthy over here. And it's just so counter, I think, productive. But I want to ask, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to leave with the audience? Is there like a tip that you have found very valuable in your entrepreneurial life? Is there anything at all that you just wish that the audience knew about?
So this one is less entrepreneurship and more of the sort of Thailand side of things. It's, if you are like in a position where you don't have a mortgage, or like you're in a quite a free position where you can just pick up like bags and go, Thailand do a 30-day visa, and you can extend that for another 30 days. So that's 60 days. My recommendation is that you go to Thailand for these 60 days and you experience it, because you're not only going to experience this amazing country with amazing food, the kindest people I've ever known, and like beautiful scenery, but you're going to develop so much as a person. Like, having to go from like your comfortable hometown with all like your social relationships and all of this to a completely new country, I find it very empowering, thinking, right, I've got like a completely blank canvas here. Like, I can build whatever lifestyle I want here. And because the cost of living is so low, I can really go to town with it. Like, I can like be cooking steaks every day. I can be going out for meals every day. I can be living my best life. And after the 60 days, I'm always saying to people, you'll be a completely different person, because you will have experienced so much growth in like throwing yourself in at the deep end, building your dream lifestyle, like being forced to sort of socialize with people, which I think, coming out of the pandemic, people need that. It's like, having been isolated for so long, we need to get back into socializing with people and being in a position where you're like, I'm in a country, I don't know anyone, I need to make friends, I need to build this social circle. I think it's such a daunting but very, very valuable thing. So I'm trying to encourage as many people to do this as I can. I think I've encouraged 4 or 5 people so far who've already booked flights to Thailand. So I'm just trying to spread the message of, come here for 30 or 60 days, work on yourself. You can go home after, or you can stay in Thailand. Like, it's just so valuable.
Yeah, I think that's an incredible message. And it's, even if you just tell yourself it's 30 days, like, I can make a decision after that, but like, I'm just giving myself 30 days. It's, you're either going to go back to where you came from, a whole brand new person, or you'll find a new lifestyle over there that serves you. Is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought you incredible value that you want to leave with the audience?
Ooh, wow. Yes, there are so many.
Here's my list. You can name more than one.
So, oh, this is really difficult, actually. I think one of the main obvious ones, I hate to be boring, but is the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. When I was first in Thailand in 2020, I was reading that book religiously. And it just gives you this whole new perspective change on like how a business can actually suit your lifestyle, which I think is a very important mindset to have. Like, you'll know this, like we have a business to support the lifestyle we want. We don't have a life that's on the back of having a business. Like, our lifestyle comes first, like being healthy, being happy, being fulfilled, and the business supports that. And I think that's a great book to start in terms of getting your head around how you can do that. My mind has gone blank.
That's okay. You know what's funny? You said you didn't want to be boring, but nobody has mentioned that. I don't recall anybody mentioning that book before, and it is a great book. Tim Ferriss is awesome. I like his podcast too.
Yes. Yeah, he's also got some super cool YouTube videos as well.
Yeah.
Just anything he does, really. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Bill, this has been an incredible conversation. If people want to follow along with you, maybe they want to work with you, where can everybody go and find you?
So on Instagram, I'm Bill J. Clark. I also have a YouTube channel where I talk about online business as well as living in Thailand, self-improvement. So yeah, if you hit me up on Instagram, I reply to anyone if you've got any questions about cost of living over here or like visas or any questions like that. Be happy to help out.
Amazing. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for this conversation. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, it's been lovely. Thank you.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.